What's going on? This is Hoppy Hour. I am your host, Ryan Hoppy, and let's get right to it. This is probably his fifth time on the show. Rizzuto from the Rizzuto Show on 105.7 The Point in St. Louis is on the show. What's going on, bro?
Ryan, how are you, my friend? When was the last time we talked?
I think maybe 2019. I know we did a show in 2018, like 2 days after I got dumped by my ex. Remember? And then
you
called her damaged goods.
Yes, I did. Well, damaged goods. You don't want anything to do with that, Ryan.
What do you mean?
Damaged goods? You don't want anything to do with damaged goods.
Oh, yeah. That's just like the food you get at like Aldi's. Like whenever you go into Aldi's, that looks like damaged goods.
Yeah, you don't want none of that. Stay away from that.
How have you been, man? Because I don't think we've really talked during the pandemic. How has it been in St. Louis?
Well, it's been, you know, just as crazy as it's been probably everywhere else. You know, my show continued on. I mean, not as normal. I had, you know, a couple guys broadcasting home. I came in every day, you know, to do the show, but I had my guys calling in and remoting in from their home. So it was an interesting couple months. I mean, everybody's back now in offices, but it took some adjustment.
What's the energy been like in St. Louis? Like, because here in Florida, it never really happened. You know what I mean? Like, we didn't really shut down that long. So, like, have you guys been taking it seriously in Missouri?
Oh, yeah. Listen, there are certain parts where if you wear a mask, you know, you're looked down upon. But in the city and where you know, the radio station is and where, you know, where I live, you know, it's been pretty serious. Listen, it's serious when they have to cancel all sporting events and concerts and, you know, we can't go to see our St. Louis Blues play and you know, restaurants are only doing takeout stuff and things are closing up. It's been hard for a lot of people, you know, and my show is just, hey, man, you want to turn this on or forget about stuff for 4 hours? You know, we're happy to have you.
So I would listen to a few shows during the beginning of the pandemic, even kind of like the month before it happened. And I remember everybody was kind of saying, oh, it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. What did you think when it first began to kind of happen, like after Valentine's Day last year was kind of when it began to heat up?
Well, you know, what's crazy was when it really started was I think that the country started shutting down on March 13th, which is the day I left for vacation to go to the Dominican Republic with my family. So as we were in the Dominican, things in the States started shutting down, and then things in the Dominican Republic started shutting down. By the time my vacation was over, half the resort, or more than half the resort, was already shut down. Workers were going home, and we came home a week later to, you know, just what the hell's going on? And that's when it really kind of hit us, like, oh my God, this is a serious thing.
It became real for me when I was doing a side gig where I was, dude, it was the easiest thing ever, and it seemed too good to be true. I would drop off, okay, so there's a promotions company here in Florida, and I would drop off koozies at a bar, and I would say, and it was for March Madness, and I would make $10 per bar. And all I had to do was say, hey, here's some free swag. Do you guys want it? And they would go, yeah. And I would just have to take a picture to prove that they took it, and I made $200 in 3 hours on the first day going to 20 dive bars in St. Pete. And this was the 2 days before the NCAA tournament got canceled. And there was something within my gut where I said, this is not going to go on forever. Like, I was making great money. And not that I'm saying I'm going that I have bad luck, but I was like, this just doesn't seem real. And when it hit me, Riz, is when they canceled March Madness. And then I was board hopping a show. And when they announced that the NBA season was put on hold and then Trump talked, that's when I was like, this is something.
Yeah, it was that same day where Tom Hanks.
Yes.
Right, Tom Hanks said he had it. They canceled the NBA season. And before we went away, you know, people were talking about it that week. The week we went away, you know, I said to my wife, I was like, I don't know if we should go or not. I was actually going on vacation with my boss. So me and my boss's family, you know, went down to the Dominican together. And, you know, he's like, it should be fine. We'll be fine when we get back. And, yeah, when we got back, it was a changed world. it was like we hit a wormhole and wound up in some other strange land. And well, thank God things are slowly starting to open up.
Yeah,
people get back I'm not saying things are getting back to normal, but you can see a light at the end of the tunnel.
Well, here in Florida, the Toronto Raptors are playing in Tampa, and me and my girlfriend went on a double date with our coworkers to a Raptors game in Tampa. And first of all, it was very bizarre watching the Raptors and Trailblazers play at a hockey arena. That was very bizarre.
Right, yeah.
And it's not even our team. But what was weird was, dude, they only allow like 3,000 people in. So we got on the Jumbotron twice, and then like I had like 100 seats, so I was like right behind the hoop, and it was so weird watching Carmelo Anthony play basketball in Florida, man. It was the weirdest thing I've ever been to, bro.
Well, it was weird for us because we had our cardboard cutouts at Busch Stadium behind home plate for Cardinal games. So those are the best seats I've ever had, but they weren't even mine. It wasn't even me.
Were they going to be your seats if the cardboard wasn't happening?
No, I'd never get good seats like that.
Were you in town when they won the World Series?
The Cardinals, yeah, I was in town when they won 2 World Series. The best is when the Blues won the Stanley Cup. That was a hell of a party.
What was it like? Because it seemed crazy from an outsider looking in, but like within St. Louis and the area, what was the energy like when it happened?
When the Blues won the Stanley Cup?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, everybody was drunk for like 2 weeks. Yeah, because remember, it was the first time the Blues had ever won the Cup. There had been this drought for so long, and it was like somebody, popped the cork, and everybody was on the streets, and the parade they had, down at the Arch Grounds was amazing to see the players and the former Blues players and everybody, when we could all get together, stand on the streets, 50 people deep to watch this parade was an amazing thing. I got to go to a couple of the Stanley Cup games, and it was wild. It was amazing.
It's weird. You just used the word or the phrase when everybody was able to get together. Is it weird to look at like even like videos from like 2018, 2019 where like there's like a huge crowd and you're like, why aren't people wearing masks? Like, I don't know if you get like Facebook memories or whatnot, but it's so weird to like look at like anything, let's say an old game on ESPN Classic or even a movie, and you're like, where are the masks?
Oh yeah. Even when you watch TV now, you're like, oh man, they don't have masks on. But you go, oh man, that was filmed back in, 2015. And you go, oh, that's when masks weren't a thing. Listen, remember, if you look at people in Japan, they would wear masks a lot, even pre-pandemic stuff, because to them, if you had a little cold, you throw a mask on so you don't get anybody sick. And you'd look at them and go, look at those silly people wearing masks. We'd never do that, and now look.
And the thing too, this is actually kind of unique. I know, so HSN, the TV network, the home shopping network, is located in St. Petersburg, Florida. And I know a few people that work there, and one of them is an on-air talent. And she told me that she was getting like masks because like a lot of the products come from overseas in China. And when they gave her the like shipping of like all the products that she was going to sell on TV, she gave her like a half a box of masks. And the note said, you're going to need this. And this was maybe like the middle of February last year. And she was like, oh, I'm not going to need this. And then she got what was going on. So even overseas, they were like, oh, you're going to see it, America.
Well, did you wind up getting the virus at all?
Oh, yeah. One of my coworkers, he does side gigs on the side. I'll never know if it was him for sure, even though we were in the same room. Riz, did you get it? Because I'm going to tell you what it was like. I don't know if you got it.
Yeah, no, I got it back in December.
What was your experience like?
Well, I'll tell you how it went down. So about a year ago, my wife and I bought a farm. About a 152-acre farm.
Wow.
And so my wife and I were up there, and we're building a house on there, kind of like a little getaway. And we have all these plants and stuff. We got about 13 cows also roaming the property. So my wife and I were up there. And by the way, I know nothing about farming. So my wife and I were up there, and we were in an area where the cows had just been. And we're standing next to a giant pile of cow crap. And my wife goes, "Oh, it stinks." And I go, "What do you mean it stinks?" She goes, "It smells like cow crap." And I go, I don't smell a thing. She goes, "You're standing next to a giant pile of cow manure." And I go, "Oh my God, I can't smell crap. Literally, I can't smell crap." And that, it was a Sunday. And that morning, I had breakfast with my kids, no problems at all. And like a switch, my taste went away and my smell went away. That from the morning to the afternoon, just like a switch flipped, and I could not smell or taste a thing. In fact, after I realized I couldn't smell the cow crap, I kind of flipped out, and I said, to my family, like, "Everybody back in the car, let's go home." And I turned to my son, I said, "Hey," he had a bag of popcorn, and I said, "Give me the bag of popcorn." So I started throwing popcorn in my mouth, and it tasted like packing peanuts. I go, "Oh my God, I can't smell, I can't taste." So I went home, and I stuck my my head in a giant bag of coffee. I took a deep, deep breath, and I couldn't smell it. And then I took out the smelliest dog treats we had. You open up this bag, it would normally clear a room. And I stuck my head in, and I couldn't smell a damn thing. So I went over to an urgent care, and they did the test, and yep, had the COVID. So the thing was, when I had it, yeah, I actually went on to social media and I said, "Hey, I got COVID. I won't be in for the next week." And everybody started calling me up saying, "Oh man, just get ready. It's going to get bad. You're going to get headaches. You're going to get a fever. You're going to start coughing." One radio guy who got hit by it hard, he contacted me. He goes, "Hey, make sure you get a blood oxygen thing for your finger, because my blood oxygen level went really down. He wound up in the hospital for a couple weeks." And I said, "All right, now I'm flipping out because everybody's making me flip out." And Ryan, let me tell you, all that happened to me was I just lost my smell and my taste. That's it. Never got a fever, never got a cough, never had any body aches, nothing, just my smell and taste. That was it. So I got through it pretty easy.
I think I know the radio guy that you're talking about, because I made the news interviewing him. Was it Jason Mahoney?
Oh, yeah. Out in Vegas, yeah.
Yeah, I interviewed him. I did a one-on-one interview, and then I sent it to All Access. Dude, I was nowhere near how close he had it. Isn't it crazy how everybody has it differently? Because, dude, Jason almost died. It's crazy.
Yeah. He's the one that contacted me. He said, you got to go get this oxygen meter for your finger, just watch it. And talking to him actually kind of flipped me out a little bit, because I was like, oh man, I feel okay, except for the smell and taste thing, I'm fine.
Well,
but talking to him and hearing his story, it was crazy.
Yeah, because aren't you kind of like a germaphobe where you flip out over everything?
Yeah, listen, I play it up a little bit for the radio, but I like clean things. I like, I like to wash my hands. I don't like dirty stuff. This has turned everybody into a germaphobe now.
Yeah. Well,
this whole thing, but I got away pretty easy, compared to some other people, like Jason Mahoney. And I just, listen, what I did was I spent some time in my guest room with my wife and kids, kind of delivering me food, which didn't matter because I couldn't taste anything. But all I did was watch Netflix and play video games for a week.
Did you have this horrendous hangover feeling with muscle aches?
No, none of that.
Imagine, because I know you're a guy that probably partied because you work in alternative radio and you also worked at K-Rock in New York. Was there a night where you had the worst hangover of your life, like a horrendous hangover, like awful?
Like in my life?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you, my brother's wedding, I got, unbelievably tanked. And then the next day was my mother-in-law's 50th birthday. I don't know how I made it through.
Imagine that, imagine that for 14 days. That's what I had.
That's what you had?
Oh, it was that. I was irritable. I would get these random muscle aches. I was sweating. And I'm having like side effects. You know how like they say in those like news articles, or Fauci will babble, or the CDC will babble, and they'll say that you'll have side effects after the fact? I have all the side effects after the fact. So because I'm young and healthy, nothing happened. But like, bro, any of the side effects they say you'll get after the fact, I have all of them. It's not good.
Oh, no kidding. Are you still feeling the effects of it?
No, I'm getting night terrors. I'm getting anxiety, and how do I word it? Because you're not a shock jock, but you're a guy talk show. So I'll just say it. When I'm having sex, I'm able to get to attention, but it's taking forever. And I never had that problem. And they say that's one of the main, I can go for an hour. It is, I didn't realize until recently. And then I'm at the bottom of my head, my actual head, like at the back of it, I'm starting to like lose a little bit of hair. So like me and my girlfriend last night, we looked up like different symptoms, and it was like, check, 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 check. It's unbelievable. I'm like, God damn it.
Yeah. None of that happened to me. It took about a month for all my senses to come back. That was, you know, as a person who likes food, that was a pretty tough thing to kind of go through with no taste and no enjoyment, when it comes to eating things. My smell is not 100% still. I would say I'm about 90% smell. And that's been since December.
What's the 10% that's missing from the smell?
I don't know. My superpower used to be sense of smell. And man, I was like I was able to, you know, not be in the room with somebody if they had like cologne on, because that would like bother me so much because it was such an intense smell. And now, you know, things that were unbearably, you know, strong to me before, you know, are kind of muted. So I could definitely still, I was around somebody actually today that was wearing quite a bit of cologne and it didn't bother me.
Does it freak you out?
A little bit. And I'm hoping that, you know, everything fully comes back. But, you know, listen, I count my blessings. It could have been a lot worse. It could have been a lot worse. And, you know, since we talked last, you know, I got COVID. Two guys on my show got cancer.
Patrico, so, and who was the other one?
Patrico had kidney cancer and had most of his kidneys removed. And Jeff Burton, another guy on my show, was just diagnosed with prostate cancer. So he's going through chemotherapy.
Oh, my God. Is that going on currently?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I feel bad. I DM'd him asking if he'd want to come on a podcast. I had no idea. I don't know how I missed that.
Yeah, he's going through chemo now, which is hitting him pretty hard. The you know, the cancer that he's got is treatable, and they caught it early enough, so he'll be okay. But those chemo treatments are crushing him.
Do you ever have it?
I hate to even complain about anything, you know, compared to what, you know, those two guys on my show have been going through.
Do you ever have it where you'll like message somebody and then you don't realize they're going through something, and then you find out they're going through something, and you're like, oh, oops.
Yeah, that's why I don't want to really complain about a lot of things, you know, especially, you know, after I got, you know, the COVID and stuff like that. You know, you don't want to complain, oh, I can't taste, I can't smell, or somebody, you know, gets it and winds up in the hospital. Or, oh, you know, I'm having a bad day. Well, how about this guy, you know, who's got to go for chemo treatments every couple of Thursdays, and he gets, you know, knocked on his ass for a couple of days afterwards.
Now, how would you like give them advice? Like, what's it like having two people on your show having cancer? What's the, what do you do as the show host to keep the show going?
We just got to be supportive. And, if anybody had listened to my shows when we made these announcements, you know, like, hey, you know, Tony's got cancer, or, you know, Jeff's got cancer. You know, we made it as lighthearted as we can. You know, when Jeff announced that he had cancer, you know, he said, he basically said, hey, I didn't want, you know, I was jealous of Tony getting all the spotlight because of his cancer. So I went and got cancer myself. You know, if you do it with a sense of humor, you know, it lightens it up a little bit. And, you know, it's a very serious subject, but I mean, that's how we usually handle things with humor.
And I feel like cancer is such a ridiculous bitch that you kind of have to like make fun of it. You know, like if you go in, it's kind of like the law of attraction, like energy. I feel like if you go in and feel bad for yourself, that's how you're going to let it beat you. You got to kind of just like laugh about it because it's so sad and ridiculous.
Well, you know, of course, you know, one of the things they would tell you is, you know, when you're going through something that's serious, cancer, is you have to maintain a positive mental attitude on stuff. So the good thing about the two guys I work with is they have good attitudes about stuff. So they'll be, you know, they'll make it through. They'll be okay.
Man, it's crazy how much is going through the show. Like Moon got married. I remember hearing that. King Scott got married. Like your show has grown in the 7 years of it being the Rizzuto show in St. Louis. It's unbelievable.
Well, it's always something. There's always something going on. And there's always, you know, there's always some kind of excitement, which, you know, for me, it's like, man, let's just take a couple months off of not having anything happen, you know?
Well, you know what's funny is this is Inside Radio, Inside Baseball, but a lot of those like War of the Roses and Second Date Update are fake, and then you got the Rizzuto show with like real drama.
Oh, this is reality.
Yeah.
And this is reality radio. And the thing that Jeff and Tony have allowed is for us to kind of go through the treatments and what they're going through, you know, on the radio. And to a lot of people, that's very interesting. You know, like I didn't know much about chemotherapy. So we're kind of going through it all together.
So, I've been able, allegedly know somebody that shows me like the ratings, for Tampa radio, and, yep. They have access to the ratings in general. This is alleged. I would never do this since I don't have an official show. You are kicking ass, Rizzuto. How does it feel?
Well, it's great. I count my blessings every day. You know, I almost like I say to the guys, you know, every week we get a weekly back or monthly, and we got them fooled again. You know, listen, you just got to be humble. You can't rest on your laurels. You can't allow things to get stale. You know what I mean? You can't allow things to get stale, and you just can't. You can't rest. You can't rest on being number one. You still have to go out every day, and you have to entertain, you know, the people that you have. And you know, I just want to be number one all the time. And we've been the number one show in St. Louis for actually today is the 7th anniversary of our show. So I would say 6.5 years we've been the number one show in St. Louis.
Now when. So, it was the Woody and Rizzuto show, and then Woody went to Los Angeles. Were there people within the building or within the media that thought you were going to fail at all?
Oh, yeah. A lot of people. And they let their feelings known, too. They let their feelings be known, too. Like, you know, good luck. You know, you guys, you know, with all that you guys being together, you know, the show is going to fail. So you got to kind of put that stuff.
Was it motivating?
Yeah, well, you got to put it out of here. Listen, I'm a human being. I don't want to hear that. But you just kind of, you know, push it away and go, you know, listen, I'm going to do the best I could do. My company has full confidence in me. That's why they allowed me to continue on doing mornings by myself. I assembled a good team. And we just go out there, you know, every morning and just try to do our thing and entertain and just be who we are. Not trying to be another show. Not trying to do another show stuff, just trying to be us.
What was that first show like when it was just the Rizzuto show? Do you remember?
I do. It was 7 years ago today. And I remember cracking the mic the first time, being incredibly nervous, feeling incredibly unprepared. And it was just myself, Tony Patrico, and Moon. We didn't get Jeff yet. And, man, if I go back and listen to that first show, I don't even know how I would. I don't even know if I could listen to it. and just thinking like, how could I, after, I remember after the first show was over, I said to myself, how could I do this 4 hours every day? And I kept saying to myself, man, they've made a grave mistake giving me this morning show. And then, you know, gradually you kind of find your footing and you get better every day. And here we are 7 years later.
You never sounded like overly nervous, but I can definitely hear that it's much more laid back almost a decade later, though, for sure.
Oh, yeah. No, listen, I get nervous every day. Every day before I you know, I had one of those stupid Apple watches. And, you know, it measures, you know, your heart rate. And, you know, if you look at a chart, my blood pressure, my heart rate spikes at 6 a.m. every morning.
Really? Every morning?
Every morning. Every morning, my blood, my heart rate shoots up. And then, you know, I kind of settle in. But, you know, I'm just excited every morning. Every morning to come in and do it.
So I'm going to ask you this because I'm curious. So now I have a new girlfriend who's 100 million times better. Love of my life. I love her. I live with her. I live in a new apartment. I don't live in the ghetto anymore.
I remember last time you were living in the ghetto and there was people, you know, gun shops and all that stuff.
So, but I now am responsible for cooking dinners with her. You know, like there's more responsibilities that comes with improving your life. Like I'm making the same money, but it's a thing that Biggie said, more money, more problems. Like nothing's bad,
right?
But I got more to do. So I work a similar schedule to you on the weekend. And when I fill in for the Mike Kelta show, where I get up at like 4 a.m. and I'm there until like 11 or noon. And then on the weekends, I work 4 a.m., 4 p.m. and then Sundays, 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. And I have this mood thing, bro, where I tell myself I am not going to be a bitch, but I say the C word. I am not going to be moody. I'm not going to be moody. And then I come home and I project my tiredness occasionally onto my girlfriend. Now, you live with your great wife and your two kids. What do you do to turn off the radio? You know what I mean? Like, because like sometimes I'll find myself, like if we're chilling, like I want to rant and I want to complain, but that's what you bring to the radio. What's the way when work is done, even if you are dead tired, what's the way to just turn it off? And when you put the key in your door to just be a new person and forget about work and forget about social media?
Well, listen, when I walk through the door, so I just got home. Nobody's home right now.
Yeah.
So I will, I'll take a nap. Okay. My son will come home in about 2 hours. My daughter will be home in 3 hours. And, I switch into dad mode. You know, my kids don't give a crap what I do on the radio. You know, they don't care. You know, they just know that dad goes to work as his job is on the radio, and they don't care, you know, about the inner workings and what goes on in the office and the politics of it. So, you know, I throw myself into being a dad. You know, now that we got this farm, that's another hobby and another project. And you just got to find other stuff to do. I can't get home and just think about work all the time. I need to do other things.
That makes sense. Do you obsess over social media at all?
No, God, no. That's one thing. I social media to me is, I try not to throw myself into it. You know, Moon handles my Instagram and my Facebook account. I'll look at Twitter because Twitter is a good source for news, you know, when stuff breaks. But the other stuff, I try not to get involved with gossip and, you know, who's doing this and who's doing that. I feel like a lot of that social media stuff is driven by jealousy.
Bro, you just read me perfectly. What's the key to not care? Honestly, what is the, cause there's like the social dilemma on Netflix and there's all these like documentaries and motivational speakers that tell you how to not care about social media, but I keep caring. It was my New Year's resolution. What's a way, Rizzuto, to actually not care?
I don't know how to describe it. Just find something else to do. You know, people sit there. And this has been a big problem this year, especially with everybody at home and things being shut down.
Yes.
People sit there on their phones and they doom scroll, you know, looking for stuff to complain about, looking for bad news, looking to, you know, bitch about something or somebody. So just find something else to do and just don't be on your phone all the time. That's the thing. My wife will sometimes, you know, well, did you see this person did this on Facebook? I don't care. It affects me in no way.
See,
like, that's the hard thing is you got to say, you know what this person does affects me in no way.
I'm your wife and you are my girlfriend. I'll literally be like, oh my God, did you see what? And my girlfriend goes, I don't care. I'm literally the same way where I get so into the gossip and so into like, oh my God, did you see what this person wrote about me on your post? Like I care so much, Rizzuto. It's ridiculous.
I just don't care. What is that? How does that person affect me in any way?
Yeah. Like
if somebody writes something, you know, about me, what, I'm still going to be on the radio tomorrow. You know, I'm still going to be a dad, you know, right now. I'm still going to, you know, be doing what I'm doing. It doesn't matter. Listen, unless it's, you know, a boss or something like that, you know, that I would hope they wouldn't take things to social media. But it doesn't affect me.
Man. I talk to talk, Riz. I always say, oh, it's going to be the day I'm honestly going to get better, because like the highly successful people are not the ones that are on social media all day. Honestly, the people that are successful and then ruin it by tweeting something dumb are the ones that are idiots. You know what I mean? So you're doing it right by not ranting on Twitter, you know, because that's when it gets into trouble.
No, and here's the problem with the ranting on Twitter and ranting on Facebook and stuff. People could take it, number one, out of context.
Yes.
Okay. That's number one that can get you in real trouble. I always tell my guys are way more active on social media than I am, way more. I'm talking like 100 times more. And I say, man, you guys are one tweet, one Facebook post away from being fired at all times. So watch what you say and don't put everything on social media, because we work right now in the ultimate social media, which is the radio. So save some of the stuff for the radio. Like my rants and stuff, I mean, I save that for the radio. That's what I get paid to do. I'm not getting paid for Twitter posts or paid for, you know, Facebook posts. You know, people tune in every morning to hear me on the radio talk about stuff.
Yeah, because there's been times I've like ranted about a thing and then it's on my Twitter and then it just feels like I'm saying it again, even if I'm saying it for the first time on air. You know what I mean? It just doesn't feel as fun. It doesn't feel as like fresh.
Right. I mean, I'll yell at, I'm trying to think of an example, but I'll yell at the guys sometimes, like, you know, they'll make some kind of announcement, you know, some life-changing announcement on, you know, on their social media page. And I'll go, man, what are you doing? You do this on the, like, we should do this on the radio. Like this, you've wasted the story on your social media.
That's sort of the same thing that Howard went through. Remember with JD, if you listen to Howard's show and like the crew will announce something or Richard will, and he's like, dude, why don't you just save that for the air? That'd be great radio.
Yeah, it'd be great radio. That's what we do. This is what you get paid for every morning. And you're blowing your wad on social media for what? For you know, a couple thousand followers?
You know, good point.
Come on, man. Save some of that stuff for us. Because we could explore it a little more instead of just however many characters you get on Twitter.
And also, it can go for a longer segment, and you're going to have a way bigger reach and a reach of new people that maybe just moved to St. Louis that just tuned in. You know, like you always are going to have new people, but you're talking to the same people no matter how many followers you have. It's never going to be somebody new.
Yeah, listen, people are addicted, and maybe you're addicted to social media. I mean, what's so appealing to you? Do you feel like if you're not looking at it, you're going to miss out on something? What do you miss out on?
Honestly, I think it's because I've realized it's a way to have me, I don't know, I just, it takes me away from like my overthinking, you know what I mean? Even though I'm overthinking on social media, I'll like literally, I'll be like, okay, tonight is the night I'm not going to go on social media. So for example, last night I was watching Netflix and I was watching a documentary on Nas, the rapper. And all of a sudden I was like, I wonder what's going on with social media. It's like an addiction, bro. It's literally like cigarettes.
Yeah. Well, that's why you need to get a hobby.
I do need one.
Nope. Get a hobby. All right. So I'll tell you my night last night. Here's how exciting my life is. Okay. So I go up to my room, 7 o'clock, I'm sitting in bed, I'm by myself. Now, I could pick up my phone and I could, you know, open up Twitter and start, you know, scrolling around and searching for things. I could do that. Or I could not get myself all pissed off and turn on Netflix and just watch a dumb documentary. Last night I watched some stupid documentary about Queen Elizabeth and her sister. Okay.
Really?
The most boring thing. But you know what though? I shut my mind off and it was just focused in on this and I was learning something and I wasn't scrolling on social media getting all pissed off.
Damn. I might have to watch that documentary tonight.
I tell you what, it wasn't terrible. And I learned something and then I went to bed and then I woke up in the morning and ready for work. I didn't go to bed pissed off or angry or bitter. You just need to not open that phone.
This is a random thing.
I don't want to be a curmudgeon about this.
I understand about the
importance of social media for sure. I understand how it's a good tool in promoting your radio show and your brand and stuff like that, but it's the other garbage that you don't need.
Yeah, like you see people like Chrissy Teigen that lost their mind, you know, like it literally causes people to lose their mind.
Yeah. I don't need that. I got enough issues. I got enough things to worry about. I don't need to worry about other stuff that again affects me in no way.
So let's go back to talking about this farm. Where did this come from and did you get a good deal on it? Like how did this all go down? This is fascinating. I did not know this.
Well, my wife owns a company that makes elderberry elixir. So, you know, it's like a health, you know, a health thing.
Mm-hmm.
Immune booster and stuff like that, which she started cooking on her stove just for friends in the neighborhood. And it started, you know, like the neighbors would all, you know, take the stuff and give it to their kids. And they go, man, you should start selling this. And she was selling this out of the back of her car for a little while. And now she's in like 50 stores. You know, bottling the stuff. And, you know, she was having an issue actually getting elderberries. And, you know, we just said, let's just buy a farm and start growing it ourselves. So a farm became available at a great price. So we bought it. We bought this 152 acre farm. Currently we have, over 9,000 elderberry plants in the ground right now, ready to be harvested in early August. And so it's one of those things. Let's start making the product ourselves, and let's not look to somebody else for ingredients. Let's do it ourselves. So leap of faith and did it.
How has it been going so far? Do you see a lot of good results?
Well, we'll see after the first harvest, but, you know, we're building a little house out there. It's kind of like a weekend getaway. Like, we're actually building the house ourselves. So, I mean, last weekend I was up on a roof, you know, putting a tin roof on an old barn and, you know, putting in ductwork and laying electricity. And it's been a long process, but it's been fascinating. And listen, it's something to do. It's something that when I go onto my farm, I literally, my mind just is focused there. Everything else melts away. My cell phone doesn't work. I get no cell phone signal out there yet. And I'm just, I have a tractor. I ride the tractor around. I mow the fields. I make sure the cows are where they're supposed to be. And it's great. That's the hobby thing. I take my mind off work for a couple hours.
How handy are you? Because I literally cannot hammer a nail into the wall. So I don't. It's fascinating that you're building a house. It's cool.
Listen, I'm from New York City. My mom came out to come visit us. I said, let me take you out to the farm and show you what we did. And she goes, you don't know what the hell you're doing. I said, yeah, kind of don't know what I'm doing, but I'm learning as we go. So far, you know, knock on wood, nobody's gotten hurt.
Literally.
And you know, I own a tool belt and overalls, and I'm starting to pick things up. Again, listen, a year ago, I never would have imagined myself driving a tractor and enjoying it, and that's what I do.
So, before I let you go, man, I ask this to all my show, the people I have on, all the different hosts, and I think your answer is going to be very unique. So a lot of people, when they answer this, they kind of make it just about their show. But when it's all said and done, whenever you decide to hang up the headphones, what do you want your legacy to be in St. Louis and with the Rizzuto show?
That's a good question. You know, that's a great question I ask if I interview bands. That's a question I always throw in. Like, hey, what's the legacy? And I always stump them.
Yeah.
I always stump them on that. I think I asked the Deftones that once.
Really?
And the lead singer said that was the most profound question anybody's ever asked him. And that is a very profound question because, you know, what do I want to leave behind? Listen, I've been on the same radio station going on, it'll be 18 years in May. Okay. My legacy is, listen, here's the guy that just came on the air. We got to tune in. We got to forget about, you know, problems for 4 hours. You know, we don't talk politics. You know, we don't get really into heavy stuff. I mean, obviously with people's personal issues, you know, the cancer and stuff like that, you know, that's pretty heavy. But as far as everything else going on, I just want to be an outlet where people could just go and forget about stuff for 4 hours while they're on their way to, you know, whatever job they have or whatever woes are going on in their life. You know, they could tune into the Riz Show and just laugh for a little while. If you're in the car for 15 minutes, I just want to make sure you're laughing for 15 minutes, or you're just, you know, I'm making you think about something for 15 minutes and taking your mind off everything else. You know, listen, that whole election cycle we never even really touched upon anything. Unless it was a huge, huge, huge story, we didn't talk about that kind of stuff. You get that anywhere else. You could turn on one of these political talk stations. You could turn on CNN. You could turn on Fox News and get all that stuff there. But I just want to be known as, you know, hey, man, remember the Riz Show was on? Yeah, those were good guys. Those were good guys. They did a lot of charity work. They were on for a long time, and I remember listening to them, and they were just good dudes.
I think a way to add to your answer is that you never, like, were, like, over the top about being the top-rated number one show. Like, you never took that for granted. Like, some hosts just talk about that all day.
Yeah, no, listen, whenever we get the big ratings, you know, I say thank you. I appreciate you guys listening. Thanks for tuning in every day. Thanks for spreading the word. And right back to business. I don't harp on that kind of stuff because that really doesn't matter to people who are tuned in. Cool, these guys got an award, or, you know, cool, they're number one. Cool, they're number one. How does that affect me? Yeah. Like, okay, they're patting themselves on the back. It's like watching an award show. I don't watch award shows. Who cares?
Yeah, it feels very it's kind of entitlement, but it feels very much like, ooh, look at me. But like the person driving to go work at the local farm doesn't care.
No. And I don't know. It feels weird bragging about stuff like that because our mission is to kind of have people tune in and take their mind off stuff. They don't care about that.
So for people that haven't heard the show, what's it like and why should they tune in?
Just like I told you, you know, this is, it's five guys just hanging out, you know, busting each other's balls, giving you what's going on in the world in a lighthearted way, nothing too heavy. And, you know, listen, we'll get you hooked. If you give us 5 minutes, we'll get you hooked.
That's good. Cause there's some shows out there in a similar format where they're like, give us 2 weeks to a month and you'll like us. So the fact that it's only 5 minutes is a lot easier.
No. And you know, I'm the host of the show. I'm the quarterback of the show, but you know, I treat everybody equally. There's nobody, you know, that I'm willing to take the licks, just like the next person. I mean, the newest guy on our show is King Scott, who's been there, you know, 2 or 3 years. And, you know, we rag on him, but I rag on myself too, and he rags on me, and you know, we will do stupid things. Dude, I have a nipple tattooed on me because I lost a bet. I have a 2x2 nipple tattooed on my arm because I lost a bet. I throw out a first pitch at a baseball game in a Speedo. I don't care. I'm not above the other guys.
Don't you find it nauseating when some of those show hosts are just like, I'm the smartest in the room and no one can talk to me? You know what I mean?
Well, listen, I may be the smartest person in the room. That is
very factual.
That's That's true. But I don't know. I don't want to put myself above anybody else. I'm not, you know, I'm not that kind of guy. Like, I just want to hang out. And if it's good enough to do to somebody else, then it's good enough to do to myself. You know, I don't want to be too cool for the room.
Well, Riz, before I let you go, where can people find the show and how can they listen?
All right. We are available through podcast. If you can't listen to us, live on all major podcasting platforms, you know, your Apple stores, your Spotify's, all that stuff, Amazon Music. You can also go to 1057thepoint.com/Riz, see some of the stupid videos we've done. Yeah, I mean, that's the best way to get it. Listen to the podcast.
Well, Riz, it's been cool knowing you like the last 7 years, and it's a lot of fun having you on the show. And it's cool seeing you do well, because a lot of shows out there are so incredibly smarmy and fake, but the Rizzuto show on 105.7 The Point in St. Louis has never, ever given out those vibes.
Well, that's the one thing. That's another good part of the legacy, is I never wanted to be known as a phony. Listen, all of us on our show we're five guys, but we're all, you know, we're all married. You know, four of the five of us have kids. We're dads, you know, we're husbands, you know, we're friends. We're very approachable, and we're never one to turn down a good time or being self-deprecating. And that's the way I always want to be.
Well, Riz, keep up the good work, man. You someday will be in the Radio Hall of Fame, my friend.
Listen, I'm not striving for it. All I want to do is sign another contract.
Hell yeah.
And be happy and healthy here in St. Louis and grow my crops on my farm.
And ratings bonuses, correct?
That's great, yeah. Ratings bonuses. That's always good. So, thank you, buddy, for having me on.
Awesome. Thank you, Riz.
All right, Ryan. Talk to you soon.
All right. See you, Riz. All right, bye.
See you, brother.
Hoppy, 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 this is Hoppy Hour.